You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Wednesday. I haven't messed up the day because we were off on Monday. This is not Tuesday for me. Tom, are you alive and well?
Yeah, it's Tuesday for me, but it's also Wednesday because I don't work Friday, so that makes it Thursday tomorrow, but also my Friday.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
You confused me. You lost me at whatever you lost me at.
Third base.
I don't know. Third base. Hey, well, at least I have a partner that understands me.
One of the best comedy routines ever.
You get me.
Yes, I do.
You understand, Steve.
I speak Steve.
You're one of the two, you and Moreno. maybe Jamino a little bit, which in fact, Jamino will be on today, 6:45-ish. We'll talk about last night's softball game, USA and UA. Very good game. I watched portions of it on TV. I didn't go to the game. I was here till 7, turned it on later on in the day, and it was not a good game.
It was... I don't know if competitive is the right word, but it was close.
Yeah. Two home runs does that.
Yeah.
Three-run homer by Harper. A pretty good player. I did a big story on her last year when they were really making their run to the World Series. She's fantastic at short. And I wasn't even thinking about hitting. She's fantastic at short. You know how you have the, I'm not saying Ozzie Smith, but you know those people, the Tony Fernandez who just lost his life or passed away.
Yeah.
Those guys, the Ozzie Smiths, the Pan Fernandez, who else? My guy with the Reds, Concepcion. Those guys where the ball never got by them.
They're vacuum cleaners.
Yeah, and they would just do it like, oh, how did that happen? Oh,
yep.
Jeter, those guys.
There are a lot of great shortstops.
Oh, yeah, Larkin, Barry Larkin.
Yep.
Dodger shortstops. Man. The Diamondbacks have a pretty good one now. Is it Ahmed?
I'll be honest with you. I don't keep up with the Diamondbacks as much.
I don't think anybody does it too.
They're kind of hard to because they just keep selling guys off.
And they're not any good. No. Well, they haven't been in a while.
No. Usually go. they're my U of A of baseball, Steve. I go when I want to watch the other team. That's when I go to a Diamondbacks game.
You're not alone. But when the Cubs come to town, it's mostly Cubs. When the Pirates come to town, it's mostly Pirates.
I should say, by the way, correct myself, U of A football. They're my U of A football.
Oh, okay.
Because I go based on the other team.
Right.
The Blue Jays come to town, I will be up there.
The UA people like you because you actually buy a ticket.
Right. And I stay, and I buy their concessions. And
you are the dream of the U of A.
I know, right?
They need 30,000 more of you.
Yeah, they do.
And to stay past halftime and to have a couple of drinks.
You know, here's the thing, though. Those games start so late, too. I mean, it's not – it could be a family thing, but it's not. They play too late at night. And just kids aren't going to stay that long.
No. And then you have babysitters and blah, 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 and that's extra money.
Snowbirds aren't going to stay that long either.
No.
Especially not if they're losing.
No, sure, of course. Snowbirds need the game at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, heck, I'm becoming one of those. Not snowbirds, but I'm becoming that age of, I got to take a nap. If I fall asleep in the show, forgive me.
Yeah.
If the listeners fall asleep in the show, I understand.
That's not a good idea if you're driving.
No. But you can be listening to me at the house. In fact, my mom lost my channel. I'm thinking, Mom, what's up with this? You're my mom. You have to be a fan.
Pretty much. I mean, if your mom's not listening.
Well, I don't know if you want to hit that button or make...
All right, Steve, I'll get you into the clear here for a minute, but Steve cracked himself up so much, we've lost him for a second here. But no, I mean, you know, because my parents listen to the stuff I've done, too. I mean, thanks to the internet.
Right.
Even though the family still lives back in the Buffalo, New York area, they can still catch up on what I'm doing.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, who's listening? Like I say, my audience is my age. You know, you're not a kid listening to me. So, oh, Dad's talking smack. Got to get off this radio. Well, how'd you find this station anyway?
What's a radio?
That's true. Anybody under 30. Yeah. So we're going to talk about softball. We'll obviously talk about basketball. They play Oregon State tomorrow. Women are on the road as well, trying to continue their magic. Anybody want to call in, please do. 790-2040. I'd appreciate it. it helps pass the time. So Tom and I won't talk sports gibberish to ourselves all the time. Just your thoughts. If you went to the softball game, give me a quick buzz. It was entertaining. It was a close game, like you say. You don't know about competitive, but it was close.
Sold out.
Sold out, yeah. Pretty cool, pretty cool. I covered the Team USA in 2004, when Candrea won it all. In 2004, he finished second and got the silver in 2008. These women are fantastic. They're just unbelievable. Great athletes, obviously, top of the best of the best, obviously. You wouldn't be doing this if you weren't in it for the Olympic team. It's like, did we talk about this? Did you watch the All-Star game? Did we talk about this on Tuesday?
Which sport?
The basketball.
I did not.
You did not. Okay, so it was you know, a ho-hum game until the fourth quarter started.
Sure.
It was dunks and long shots and stuff, you kind of, you know, circus stuff. And then it got to the fourth quarter. Guess what happened?
All of a sudden, everybody bears down.
Everybody bears down. It got good. I started watching every moment of it, and it was like, this is how it should be in the real competitive world, because they didn't want to lose, and then they wanted to get the money for the kids and all that. But it was competitive as all heck. Very enjoyable. A lot of fun. And just thought, man, all the games should be like this. And I said, the winning team should be the winning team. The winning team should be the Team USA for the Olympics. Because they had some fantastic talent. Both sides had fantastic talent. You said, how could they lose to anybody except for themselves? You know? I mean, LeBron, Davis, Harden, all these guys on one team. I'm thinking, holy moly. You don't want
it's
to face
a pretty this. Good lineup.
That's just three of the guys, and they were loaded with a lot of good players.
Yeah,
that was the West, and the East was loaded too. Obviously, I'm not a East guy, so. But it was a great competition. You love to see that. They were a lot like you. Don't want to lose. You know, a lot like me. I don't want to lose. Hate losing. But it is what it is. So go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know what's interesting? So I just thought to myself, you said NBA All-Star game, and that's. That has been off my radar for years. Not oh, sure. since I was mm-hmm. probably in high school when I watched the dunk competition in 3-point and cared who won. But so I thought about it. Okay, Tom, what do you actually watch that is any of the All-Star competitions out of the four major sports, let's say?
Hockey, of course.
No.
No?
No, I don't. You know what? The only thing I watch tied into any All-Star game is exclusively the Home Run Derby.
Oh, well, yeah. That's kind of exciting.
That's the only thing I watch.
What's exciting about it?
For me, well, if there's a Blue Jay in it, I root for them. But other than that, I just think it's kind of neat to see these guys just take absolute giant rips and see if they can crush one out of the stadium.
Right, because they do that.
Yeah, and it's fun to see guys kind of go on streaks, and then the dynamic of whoever's pitching to them, because sometimes it's a family member, sometimes it's a coach or a buddy or whatever. So I think those are kind of interesting little storylines. But even this year, the NHL All-Star Game, it was on my TV. I was in front of the TV. Did I pay attention to it? No. Can I tell you who won? Not really.
I'm not a big hockey guy. You know that.
Yeah, and I am, and I still don't know.
It was a week before, right? Week before? It was last week?
Yeah, like a week and a half ago. 2 weeks?
Yeah.
2 weekends ago. Yeah, let's put it that way.
Right. And last weekend was the NBA. It's always kind of coincides together. So we'll see what happens. I'm not even really paying attention, although the Golden State Warriors are the worst team in the NBA.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand injuries played a part of it, but holy cow, how the mighty have fallen with Golden State.
How the outhouse has turned into the penthouse has turned into the outhouse?
Yeah.
As the saying goes.
They're unwatchably bad. Yeah. I actually did try to watch them. They had a national game not too long ago. It was awful.
Steve Kerr's checks still cash, I assume.
Yeah, I bet they do.
Jim Baylor, we talked about this yesterday from the Cleveland Cavaliers. No longer the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
He resigned today. He was going to be pushed out, either or.
Yeah.
But I guess he's still going to be with the team in some different capacity.
Oh, kind of pushed into basketball operations, I'll put that in air quotes.
Which would be even awkward because, you know, he wasn't winning. Obviously, he won, the biggest problem. And then he came up with the thugs thing and apologized for that. So why even have him around if no one's going to respect him?
Right. I think that's just them trying to wring work out of him for his paycheck.
Sure, possibly. Yeah, and him to go to somewhere to go. He's 67. I still think he's a heck of a good coach. Michigan was horrible before he got there. In fact, Michigan came here. It had to be 3 or 4 years ago now, And Arizona killed him because they were horrible. But then he made him good again last couple of years. So he turned it around pretty well.
It's hard now in this environment, Steve, if you're a coach who gets called out for something like that. Like, it's happened in hockey, it happens in basketball or football. Yeah. If you get called out for something like that, it's hard to see you getting another job.
Another job?
Another job. Another coaching job.
In the NBA or in college or both?
Probably NBA.
We got to go take a break before. Let's keep that thought because we could talk about this for a long time. Let's take a break here on 10:30 The Voice. Hey, good afternoon. Welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera, and with me is my guy, Tom Callahan, The Voice. Hey, so you're talking about not getting a job after having something controversial after he said thugs and stuff like that, because hockey, it happened in hockey this year just recently, right?
It did. Bill Waters with Calgary was the most recent one who lost his job with the Flames.
Can you say what he said on the air?
No, he dropped an N-bomb in a locker room with a minor league player.
I remember saying that. I remember
Akeem Liu called him out. But there have been other coaches who have come under fire since. Mike Babcock in Toronto. He was going to get fired anyway, but once he did, then players came out with allegations of mental abuse. One guy who was recovering from a concussion when Babcock was coaching in Detroit actually had a mental breakdown over how hard Babcock was riding him and basically saying he was a wuss, not coming back, and all this other stuff. And the guy was legit, and he was one of the tougher players that I remember of that era.
Mm-hmm.
And just drove him nuts trying to get him to come back from it with, like, all the mental games and the mind games. And so, I mean, it's all over the map. But, yeah, all that kind of stuff, I think it's going to hang with you for a while.
No, I agree with you.
We can argue how bad are on the up and down on the scales here.
Right. Well, the circumstances of very difficult. If he stays with Cavaliers, I think he's a heck of a college coach. He'll find a spot. Depends where. Obviously, that's going to be brought up.
Yeah.
Because you can't avoid that. He'll be fine.
A mid-major will pick him up.
Well, I think a major. Oh, let me say this, because this is an incestuous type of world.
Sure.
Football coaches, if you get fired here, you're still good enough to coach here. Baseball, hey, come on. How many times can you get fired and rehired in that? Pro basketball, same thing.
Sure.
Kelvin Sampson, NCAA violations at Oklahoma. Pretty good coach. He went to the Houston Rockets. Now is living large in Houston with the Cougars. Has done really, really well with them. And I can mention a few others. You know, heck, the guy, what's his name, at New Mexico, Dave Bliss, all his controversy in New Mexico, guys getting killed, he went to Baylor, stuff there, and then, so you can find places. He was hired in Colorado as a high school coach. I mean, that's obviously different. But people, if you can coach, if you're successful, they find you and they put you somewhere. Not to say that's right.
Yeah.
But they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And someone will make an exception.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. Of course. Because why? You want to win.
Yeah.
You want to win. And then you kind of disregard what's been said, what's been done, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
It's a bigger conversation that could take an entire show of why we prioritize winning so much over things like, you know, treating people well.
No, but that's
normal decency to human beings.
You're talking about the world right now.
Yeah, but that goes out the window sometimes.
No, you're right. You're exactly right. I mean, but that's a good conversation to have. I'd have to get a sports psychologist in here, which is, I love that stuff.
Sure.
People know that I love talking about that stuff. That'd be a great show. Why? Because they love winning, success. And you look the other way in certain things. I mean, you see it all the time in everything, in every walk of life.
Sure. I mean, but look at the people covering still for Larry Nassar, who abused all those girls in the gymnastics program.
Yeah.
And people who just straight up lied for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mind-blowing.
Right.
But somehow, you know, if you're in and people have your back, then I guess that's how it works. But if you're not in and people don't have your back, don't ever expect to get a break.
No. Exactly. And that's just the way of the world. You know, you get what you deserve. You put what you get into it, or get what you put into it.
Sometimes.
Yeah, you're very right.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yes. No one ever said life is fair, as my father told me and told many people. I've never promised you a rose garden, so don't expect one.
Nice.
Don't expect one. Anybody want to call in, please do, 790-2040. I would try to get Kendrea on the show today. We were texting this afternoon, and he was on his way to Palm Springs, la-di-da, Mr. Kendrea, to have his team play in the Palm Springs for a few games. There's a classic out there, so he'll be out there. In lieu of that, I have my guy, Anthony Jimeno, calling in about 6:45. We'll talk about the game last night. Tomorrow, we'll talk more about the basketball game tomorrow night when they play Oregon State, so I don't need to speak a whole lot of that, but if you want to call in, please do talk about that. Football starts its spring practice here in less than 2 weeks. I think it is March 2nd, if I can remember correctly. Mr. Thomas? Yes.
Let me go ahead and grab that.
I have to wake Tom up. So the football starts pretty soon. I'm not sure how that's going to be received, nor do I care. I'm not sure how often I'll be out there. Because I've lost interest, unfortunately. I'm not sure if people here in the city have, but I know there's not a whole lot of buzz. For the last couple, 2-3 years, there's not been a lot of buzz. We have a phone call?
We do. Matt would like to talk some UA hoops with you, Steve.
Matt Hoops. I love it. Matt, how are you?
Good. This is a flashback from yesterday when you and Moreno were talking about revenge. And
oh, yes, yes, yes.
And Sean Miller said he didn't believe in revenge. And I think, I don't know where Steve Alford is living right now, but I think I heard him hit the ground and fall out of his chair.
When I asked Moreno that and I heard the question yesterday, I think that's the first guy I thought about. And there's been other guys too.
The first of many, huh? Okay.
Well, you know that he and the guy at Colorado don't like each other.
Yeah, I picked up on that. At the home game versus Colorado, mm-hmm. the blow by pregame handshake was a pretty good indication that they weren't real good friends.
No, because tell me his name. I forget the coach of Colorado now.
Ted Boyle.
Yeah. Because he criticized U of A during the recruiting scandal, or the NCAA investigation.
Sean Stoliak did too, as I recall, kind of indirectly.
Maybe I can't remember that, but let me tell you something. Sean is a very smart man. You know that. I know that.
Sure.
He does remember stuff.
He does.
Yes.
Yeah. So even Chris Stoliak, I think he said, well, you know, if we get an indication that a player or their quote unquote mentor, you know, whatever, is looking for money, we stop talking to them. That was kind of Chris Stoliak's kind of glancing shot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I can't believe I'm saying this, but first of all, what a difference a few days makes. And then I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm just going to say the words, provided we get a split with Oregon State. It's kind of hard to believe I'm even saying that. But last week we were wondering if they could kind of string together a couple of wins on the road. And this week they got if they take care of business tomorrow night, they Saturday sets up as another opportunity to win a big game at home.
So do you think it's going to be a split or a sweep?
Which one, Saturday or Friday or Thursday?
No, it doesn't matter. You just tell me which one. You just tell me a sweep or a split.
Well, should win on Thursday, and ooh, I don't know. They did. Unless my memory is incorrect, they did play Oregon pretty close
mm-hmm.
in Eugene. So I got to think the Cats have a good chance of winning on Saturday. But you know what? There's a couple coaches, and Altman is one of them. Altman seems to have had Sean's number,
mm-hmm.
They've so.
Okay, so let's assume for a second they do sweep. So that means they've gone 4-0. What does it all mean?
Well, it means we've come up, like the Gonzaga game was, or the Baylor game was going to be a big game, and the Gonzaga game was going to be a big game, and they kind of, they didn't come out the way that fans would have wanted. And so here we are. What does it mean? It means that they would be tied, right, for first in the conference. Is it, or would they pass Oregon? I'm trying to remember, but they would be tied for first in the conference. So, and it would be a big game that, in the context of right now, means something. So, I think that would speak for itself if they could get the job done on Saturday.
But what does it mean in terms of the future? What does it mean? Like projections and all that stuff, because it's still early, but
it is early, but it's just, this is one of those kind of forks in the road that, you know, a couple times this season hasn't gone the Cats' way. And you talked about it last night about how they can lose a game and then come back and be dominant. And so this is kind of, they've kind of recovered from that. In a way, they've kind of recovered from that bad Oregon road trip. And so now, you know, and they've certainly stumbled since then. They collapsed against ASU. They gave up a big lead against USC. They had a loss against UCLA. That was another big game that came to that fork in the road, and it didn't work out so well. So I think this one would be, you know, you had Baylor, Gonzaga, and UCLA, that games that were, you know, in the context of the season, a big game, and they didn't go, the Cats, you know, the Cats weren't able to close the deal. So I think this would demonstrate some progress for the team. I mean, I've said it before. I mean, there's no doubt that they've got talent this year. It's just getting it all harnessed and in the right direction and not blowing a big lead and just closing out a game.
Mr. Matt, I think that's easier said than done.
Sure.
You know that. He's been trying it for the last 4 months.
Yeah, right. Like I said, you know, Baylor, Gonzaga, UCLA, and Oregon, those are four big games that you would classify as big games in the context of where they were at the time, and those didn't go the Cats' way.
Right. Matt, thanks for calling in.
We'll see.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you.
See you, Steve.
You're right. Bye. Hey, let's take our second break here as we prepare for the second half of the show. We'll talk about a lot of the same things here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. It's 6:32, almost 6:33. We'll go to 7. I have Anthony Jamino at 6:45 if you want to call in. Thanks, Matt, for calling in. He probably saw that I was struggling. Maybe. Hey, tomorrow I'm hoping to get the Tucson Rodeo guy, one of the Tucson Rodeo officials, in the next couple of days so we can talk about that. Color Guard Classic had some big news today. Senor Tom?
Yeah, pretty exciting. If you're a golf fan, I was telling you, Steve, before the show, I actually used to be a big golf geek. I actually played in college, high school, yeah.
Where'd you go to college?
St. John Fisher College, tiny little D3 school nobody's ever heard of.
I was just going to say, is that like your, you know, what is?
I went to a Catholic high school and thought it'd be a good idea to go to a Catholic college. It was very much like my high school. So when I got there my freshman year, I loved it because I loved my high school. And by the time I left, I hated it because it was just like high school. So, you know, it was one of those. But actually, Steve, I played in one tournament my freshman year, and I had been carrying a back injury with me and didn't tell anybody for years. But I really hurt my back my senior year of high school. And so I went to one tournament, did horrible, and then tried to keep going and practice through it, and I couldn't do it, and I actually stopped playing for a couple of years. So, but I finally picked up golf again, but now, as I say, I play golf to enjoy it, and I don't keep score, and I just like being outside.
Right, nice. Well, you come to the right place.
Yeah,
so let's give the news out. Ernie Els, Jose Maria Alzabal, Steve Stricker, my guy, Daly.
John Daly's coming.
There's
Darren Clark is coming.
Yes.
Open championship winner. Olafable is a two-time Masters winner. And so that's a pretty good list. And Stricker won it in 18, I think.
Yes, I think so.
Oh, Ernie Els.
Yeah.
Ernie Els is a rookie on the I can't believe he's 50 years old.
Els, Olafable, Stricker, Daly, the other guy.
Yeah, Darren Clark.
Darren Clark, yeah.
He's Irish, so I know Darren
Clark.
So we got to go.
I didn't know you were a golf guy.
Yeah.
We'll bring you out there. Walk around the course and then kind of walk. It's a good people watching place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You smile.
I think it's fun. So it'll be interesting for me because I've only been to a couple golf tournaments live in my day, but they've all been big ones like the Ryder Cup and the Masters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, la-di-da.
So...
La-di-da, Mr. Hotshot.
Well, I lived in Augusta, so it was a little easier to get tickets from, or sorry, badges from other patrons if you lived in Augusta and made connections.
Do you have some Grey Poupon, sir?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm here at the Garbage Classic and the... whatever it is at the lower level.
It doesn't mean it's not going to be fun.
No. I'm not talking here. I'm talking about, you know, the places I've been to. This is a great event.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic event. In fact, I enjoy because it's the guys I watched as a kid and guys that you kind of recognize.
Sure.
You know, I'm not a golf guy, but I enjoy it because I go to some of the other classics where I watched and I didn't have to. Now I don't know who they are outside of Tiger and Mickelson.
Right.
And some of the, give me, throw a name now.
Some of the younger guys that are out there, like you've got, this is funny, you're putting me on the spot, and I can see them all. So the guys that hang out together, Ricky.
Fowler.
Fowler and then his buddy from Texas. Oh, my God. Why can't
Reed,
I think of
not Reed. I don't know. I don't know these people. But that's my saying. These are good because I know who they are, and I go to, whatever it is, and they're not very good. This is stuff. This is. The Color Guard class is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's so casual, one, and you can walk around. The weather, I hope, is great because the weather's great when it's here, like today. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Supposed to be a little bit of rain coming in the weekend for Saturday.
Next weekend or this weekend?
This weekend for Saturday.
Oh, yeah, but that's,
So I don't know. I don't know if it's going to stick around or if we're just going to get randomly victimized.
I saw that because it's going to be like in the upper 70s tomorrow or this weekend.
Yeah, it's gorgeous this time of year. It's perfect.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. I'll see if I can get us tickets.
I'm in.
Here's my guy, Tom. He's carrying he has a bad back because he's carried me.
I am carrying your proverbial bag for this show, Steve.
Don't go there.
Here, use a driver.
I can't hit anything.
I'm only 100 yards out.
It doesn't matter what I need a car, not a driver to hit these things. I'm a horrible golf player.
Nice.
Horrible golf player. So what else is going on? Rodeo, I hope to get somebody in here to talk about that. That's going on now. Women's softball, after a nice performance last night, is in Palm Springs. Women's basketball is on the road. Stanford, where do they play? No, they're coming. Stanford's coming here next weekend. I'm not sure. Washington, no.
I don't have the women's schedule in the booth here.
They'll probably continue their magic over the weekend. And then Arizona, of course, plays Oregon State. And then Oregon, a late game on Saturday. We'll see what happens there. I think that's going to be the tougher of the two. Although Oregon State did defeat Arizona in a weird game the first time, seemingly 2 years ago, but it was only last month.
It's funny how the basketball season seems eternal.
Mm-hmm. It does, especially when you're involved in it.
Yeah.
You're trying to find about stories. You're trying to do stories. You're trying to chase down things. Luckily, I don't do that as much anymore. I have the show and I have another job that I do. I did it for 23 years. I'm 23 years out of it now. No, 10 years out of it, but, 23 years was a number of years. I'm good.
That is a long time to do anything.
Right. So did you find out?
Yes. So the women have Utah on Friday and then Colorado Sunday. Yeah, okay. And then Stanford, California. That's at the end of the month.
The Stanford game here should be another fantastic
game. Yeah. Number 4 against, currently number 11. But you think they can crack the top 10, women?
It's not up to them because things have to happen at the front. And I guess things didn't happen at the front enough last week. You'd think they did. But women's basketball is totally different than guys. Guys lose and they tumble. Women is kind of consistently the same teams, the same playing partners, the same. It's very, very stable. That's the right word.
Yeah, because even when U of A, so they had that split, but they beat Oregon State. They were number 9. Oregon State fell to number 11, but U of A stayed right at 12 at the time.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't even move up because of it.
Right. And, of course, this is what I always say, and I always say on the show, what does it mean? Not a darn thing.
Nothing.
But it doesn't mean anything, but you know what? It, now that I say that, it means something. I think it means something in this case because you're still trying to establish yourself and get your name out there and kind of be recognized. It doesn't matter for Arizona men. They are who they are.
Right.
And they've been who they are for 20, 30 years now. More than that, obviously, 35 years. So they don't need name recognition. They don't need to show that they're in the top 2, top 15, top 25. They are what they are. The women, however, this is kind of groundbreaking. Not kind of. It is groundbreaking.
If they get a single digit next to their name this year, that's amazing to me.
Oh, yeah. No question. Especially as last year, if anybody kind of criticized the run to the NIT title, which I'm sure some did, and I did hear some rumblings, it was the NIT, blah, blah, blah.
The not invited tournament?
Yeah. So you're the 65th best team or whatever it is? Yeah, but to this place, when you've never eaten and you get to eat for a long time, guess what? That's a pretty good feeling.
Yeah. I was just as excited as anyone when they won. I was there. Oh, yeah, I loved it.
You went.
I enjoyed it.
I went to the semifinals or the quarterfinal. I was like, oh, I can't believe this is going on.
Right.
So many people. And crazy people. In fact, I was talking to somebody. I thought it was excitement. It was crazy, crazy buildup. It was like they had the city on fire in a weird way, in a good way. And now, you know, the funny thing is, and I'll say this honestly, it's kind of lost its luster. I don't know, because there's so many games in the season for the women when you go. I went Sunday to watch, and it was not as exciting as it was in the NIT. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because they're used to it now. I don't know. But NIT was a lot of fun, maybe because it was the first time.
Is that your way of saying Tucson gets complacent pretty quickly?
No, I didn't say that. But that's a good point.
Well, that's why I'm asking. I want to clarify what you said.
That's how you're interpreting it?
Well, no, that's what I'm asking. Because I could see that once you start winning, you're just like, oh, hey, we're winners now.
Yeah.
And that's how it is.
We're a basketball town.
Yeah, exactly. Well, of course we're winning.
Yeah, of course.
That's what we're supposed to do.
Yes, and pass a great poupon, too.
Yeah.
Where you're at it.
You roll down the window on your 1978 Rolls Royce.
Right. I need that. Yeah, I'm getting mine serviced right now.
Yeah.
No.
And you'll probably get it serviced next week and the week after that.
It's what's keeping my money not with me. Oh. Yes. So it's a lot of fun. We'll see what happens. I'll probably go to Stanford. Is that Stanford game on a Thursday? Did you see?
Let's have a look here. Stanford Friday.
Oh, Friday. Oh, at 6. So they start right when we were doing our show. So, you're not even here on Friday.
No, I'm not here on Friday. So I could go in your stead.
Yeah, in my stead, I'm going to Google that one.
Okay. I'll go and enjoy the game for you.
Okay, yeah, I know what that meant. Thank you for the clarification.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. No, I haven't been to a women's game yet this year, and I keep threatening to go, and I'm running out of time.
You are? Well, unless, of course, they hold the NCAA tournament here, which they could very well do. That's going to be cool. That's going to be cool because you'll have other people, other schools, you know, here. It's probably not going to be as crazy as the men, but when the women play, U of A women play, it's going to be very, very fun because it's one of those first things in a while.
Absolutely. I think it'll be it would be a lot of fun to see that come to town.
Yeah.
I don't know why we don't get to see the men come to town anymore.
Well, it's the building facility, things like that.
Yeah.
It's been 10 years maybe, at least. I remember going to the last one, Kansas State was here.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen something like that.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Hey, let's take our break here, get a hold of Anthony, and talk more about sports on the other side here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. And now on the phone, we have Anthony Jimeno. Anthony, are you there?
I am, Steve. What's going on the show?
Oh, not a whole lot. Had your guy Moreno on yesterday, Mr. Informative.
Well, he knows all the answers.
He has all the answers, which is good. I won't test you here, but did you watch the women's softball game last night?
I did.
Did it bring a tear to your eye in terms of reminiscing?
It brought back a ton of memories, if only because a couple of the pitchers that Arizona beat on their way to their most recent titles, which is a long time ago now, by the way.
Yes.
2006 and 2007. Are still pitching, and they're still really good. And specifically, I'm talking about Kat Osterman, who pitched for Texas, and Monica Abbott, who was strikeout ace at Tennessee. And Arizona got past them both in 06, and then Abbott in 07 when Taryn Mowat was what I call the Mowat miracle.
Yeah.
To this day, I think it's the best individual performance I've ever seen from an Arizona athlete.
Yeah, I guess
over 30 years. I mean, given the 6-day, 8 or 9 game run she had.
Right. The grind and no, you're right, because in basketball you don't have that effort. You know, Miles had his little run of most outstanding player, but it wasn't to this degree. You know, he had a great run. It was visible by everyone because everyone watched. This was more of, you know, watched by a number of people, but not to the scope of Miles.
Yeah, and then she won the ESPY for the best female athlete of the year for everything, not just college. So it was amazing. There were some years, especially in the 90s, when Arizona won titles, where you're like, yeah, they were the best team. They absolutely deserved to win, needed to win. Both of those years in 06 and 07, you could have made, not that they stole them, but, you know, it was, they had a hard time scoring off of Kat Osterman. I remember going into that game, she had pitched, I don't know, something like 30-some scoreless innings against Arizona. And Calista Balco, who came up with a massive hit. She going into that at bat, like in the sixth inning, it was a scoreless game. She had 9 previous at-bats against Kat Osterman, struck out every time. And this time she knew exactly, Osterman had struck her out earlier in the game on this inside drop pitch that Calista couldn't get to. So she moved back in the box so she could see and wait a little bit longer and managed to get enough of it to drive a ground ball single in the left and score a run, and then they scored another one and won the game. So, yeah, a lot of memories, and it ended up being a pretty good game last night, too.
Yeah, it was. I wasn't there. I watched it like you on TV, but I'm just wondering, not that this is going to happen, wouldn't it be a cool thing if Harper made that team as something alternate, or, you know, because she's good enough, obviously. She ain't hitting 2 runs by accident.
I think that was kind of the question. It's like, why isn't she on the team? I guess good for Arizona that she's not.
Right.
She's really good. And it was the NCAA did something this week. I think they just released it this week. Like, they picked an all-Arizona team, you know, going back all the way. And most of them were, you know, most of the players are basically from the 90s or early 2000s.
Yeah.
And I've done this before. I think I did it. I think I did it late in the run of the Tucson Citizen. I did an all Candrea team, and
that must have been some work.
Yeah, I've still got a copy of it, even though they kind of blew up the archives. I've still got a local copy of my own here, and I was looking at it. And I think what you would have to do if you're going to do it these days is really divide it into two groups. Maybe you just split the middle, like the first 18 years, 17 years, whatever it's been, in the next 17 years, because the game's changed so much with the technology and the bats and the stadiums and the ball flying out of the park. It's just a far different game than even it was in the 90s. So how do you compare Jesse Harper, a shortstop, to, say, Laura Espinoza? It's really hard. I mean, Laura Espinoza played 1 year with the old softer white softball where home runs were like spotting a unicorn. And still she ended up as the all-time home run champion. So I think you would have to divide eras a little bit, because I don't know how to compare somebody like Harper, even somebody like Palomino, to all those that came before them. And so... but in this particular era, she's about as good as it gets.
Yeah. No, I get it. I did a story on her last year, and you probably remember, comparing her to the other shortstops, and the other shortstops have been fantastic. You mentioned Laura. Back in my day, there was a all glove, no hit, to Standring, which I loved.
Yeah,
I loved those.
Yeah.
Fantastic glove. Lovey Jung play short?
She did.
Second. Yeah, so there's been a number of them where you just say, how do they do that? How do they come up with their defense? I'm just talking defense. And they're just fantastic with the glove, and then they come and they know how to hit.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I was putting together, back in the day, Mike really liked having a short roster. I think there were a couple years where maybe he had like 12 players on the entire roster. But you could get away with having really only 2 pitchers then, and he had 6 or 6+ All-Americans in the lineup, so it's not like you were going to sub them out. But say if I was putting together a 15-player team, somewhere I want Julie Standring on that team, because I'm putting her in as a defensive replacement every game.
right.
Yeah, probably a name not many people remember, because she came up in the late 80s. But she was on the 91 team that started it all, won the right. first title, and right. was really a cornerstone. She was really one of the top first top recruits of Mike Gott.
Who we'll stick on this topic for a little bit longer. Your top three players all time. This is difficult. I would assume it's difficult.
Top three is like almost impossible. I'll see if I can break it down a little bit. The best right-handed hitter I ever saw was Jenny Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
By far. She carried the 96 team to the title pretty much just on her shoulders. And that was the team that was missing. Leo O'Brien was off playing the Olympics. Nancy Evans was hurt. Leah Brott sat out that year because she was pregnant. So they were missing like basically three All-Americans, and Jenny Dalton just took that team on her shoulders and took them to the title. So I think I'd want Jenny Dalton, and then probably, I mean, obviously you'd want Jenny Finch, and probably my third would be Leo O'Brien. She could, and I thought the thing that separated her was she played great defense in the outfield and at first base. She played a lot of first base. But the thing back then was, you know, a lot of those games were still 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, et cetera. And if you couldn't hit good pitching, you were going to lose. You know, it wasn't that hard to hit bad pitching, as it usually is. But I think she might have been the best I've ever seen at hitting good pitching. She could hit Lisa Fernandez. And, you know, there were some players that put up gaudy numbers, but kind of wilted at the World Series. But she was about as clutch as it got. So off the top of my head, I would think those would be my three.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's an impossible task.
Sure, sure. And there have been a lot of women after them who have done a fantastic job outright, you know, statistically and otherwise, because a lot of heavy hitters, a lot of great gloves, a lot of defensive smart players. Let's move to football just briefly. They came out with their schedule this weekend, or yesterday, I think it was, or today, about the schedule. Ho-hum. I think it's a little ho-hum. But how can you get excited for it?
About the
spring ball
schedule?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I saw that email. Yes, yes, I did. So spring game, like April 4th. Okay. I mean, yeah, it's hard to get excited for any of it. Now, with that, they released kind of their interview schedule, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the one thing I noticed was, you know, the first day, Kevin Sumlin and Grant Gunnell.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it. I mean, obviously, there's other people, but the whole story of the offseason is going to be Grant Gunnell, right?
Right.
And he's not on the list. I'm sure we'll probably talk to him after the spring game because that was kind of left as TBA. But talk to him once in the beginning of March, and then that's it?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I think I know a lot of sometimes coaches, they don't like to promote certain players. You know, because they want to promote the team and all that kind of stuff. I think you got to pick a face of this program and kind of run with it.
Has it had that face? Well, I guess it had Khalil, at least for a moment, for a blink of an eye, and it was gone. Yeah, you know, for four games, and that was about it. But it was what it was. I mean, they don't have a face. Let me ask you something. Well, I guess basketball. Let's move to basketball. We have like 5 minutes. Who's the face of the basketball team? I think it should be obvious, or would have been obvious, but he didn't play. He hasn't played really well. Mannion.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're talking about Nico. I think everybody was focused on Nico Mannion going into the year. I wouldn't say he hasn't played well.
What would you say?
He's played okay. I mean, he's the national freshman leader in the fifth. That's not nothing. Now, obviously, he hasn't shot it well, especially lately. I mean, there's no getting around that. But you know, I think we were probably all expecting more super wow moments out of him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I kind of like those games where he scores about 10 points, has 5 assists, 2 turnovers, and just helps facilitate everything. Because Zeke Nagy is the kind of the new face of the program.
Right. And has been since November.
Yeah, since since pretty early. So,
given
I still see Nico up there in the mock draft.
Yeah, 10th.
I mean, not quite as high as, say, you would see back in November and December. But I think somebody, it might have been ESPN, had him this week at number 10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I'm no scout. Well, the NBA people will figure all that out over time, but I don't know. It sounds a little high.
Yeah, no question. I mean, if this was 1993, 94, and he was having this year and didn't put who he was on the paper, you'd say, no, he needs to come back. A lot of these guys, if you put him on paper.
Yeah, I mean, he's about the fourth or fifth best point guard in the league.
Yeah. I wish I had his potential.
Oh, sure. Now, you got to remember, he doesn't turn 19 until next month. So I know everybody's kind of bagging on him, but I think some of that's because of the high expectations and all the rankings, which really aren't his fault.
No, they're not.
If he came in as a mid-level four-star recruit, you'd be saying, oh, he's having a pretty good year.
Right, of course. Yeah.
But he's a five-star kid, top point guard in the nation, and everybody thinks he should be, you know, doing X, Y, and Z, when really he's not quite that. But I think we talked early, even maybe before the years, like, and I think we were like, it's okay to pump the brakes on some expectations with this kid, because he's got some skills, but he's not the elite athlete you typically think of when you think of lottery pick point guard.
No, and I liked him. I still kind of like him. I mean, he can run. The thing is, he can run a team, and if he's allowed to play a little bit more, he's going to be pretty good.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for calling me in. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, man.
All right, bye. Thanks. That was Anthony Jimeno, All Sports Tucson. Thank you, Tom. See you guys tomorrow.
You got it.
10:30 The Voice.